We welcome you to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and as is our custom, as we begin the week, we begin with a special feature in which we read from the Rock Cliff Review. Now, that is the bulletin we pass out at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff to all who come to our Sunday morning services. And as is the case normally, the article in the Rock Cliff Review is supplemental to or a summary of the sermon that is to be preached that day. And on this particular morning, the name of that sermon was The Measure of My Days. And the text from which that comes is the 39th Psalm. And so this was a sermon from the 39th Psalm. Let me read to you from the Rock Cliff Review. The content and mood of the 39th Psalm leaves us feeling like we have spent time in the book of Ecclesiastes. The psalmist sings of the frailness and brevity of life. To a spiritually minded person, this is not depressing, but it is sobering, and it reminds us to live in view of eternity. As the psalm begins, David does not want to speak, for he does not want to say the wrong thing. Psalm 39, verse 1 says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. However, the longer he was silent, the stronger grew his desire to let his thoughts be known. I was dumb with silence, the psalmist said. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Psalm 39, verses 2 and 3. I'm reminded of Elihu, who said, I am full of matter. The spirit within me constraineth me. Behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak, that I may be refreshed. Job 32, 18 through 20. It reminds me of Jeremiah, who said, Then said I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah 9 and verse 20. And of Paul, who said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. When David did speak, he spoke to God in prayer. And we learn that he had been musing on the brevity and frailty of life. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Psalm 39, 4 and 5. In Ecclesiastes 2 and 14, death is the one event that happeneth to them all. In Joshua 23, 14, in 2 Kings 2, 2, death is the way of all the earth. Hebrews 9, 27 tells us, it is appointed unto men once to die. David compares the time of life to a handbreadth. That's the length across four fingers, and is as nothing compared to time and eternity. Well, David continues in Psalm 36, 6 through 7. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. David is saved by hope, and so are we. And we sing, Build your hopes on things eternal. and my hope is built on nothing less. And some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand, some on their fame or their pleasures or their land. Mine's on the rock that forever shall stand. In this psalm, David admonishes us to prepare for eternity. Psalm 39, 8-11. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish, for I was dumb. I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. It says, remove thy stroke from me. I am consumed by the blow of their hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely, every man is vanity. Selah. Psalm 39, verses 8-11. Life humbles us, and it is the very chastening of the Lord that keeps our hopes on spiritual things. Hebrews 12:11 tells us, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Psalm 39, verse 12, we have the beauty of a well-constructed parallelism. Notice how the psalmist builds with increasing intensity. Hear my prayer. Give ear to my cry. Hold not thy peace. Hold not thy peace at my tears. From a prayer to a cry to tears. Someone said that we can think of all those tears as liquid prayers. David says, he is a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were, and the patriarchs, and all who walked not after the flesh, were strangers and sojourners. David chose this psalm with this plea. Oh, spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Psalm 39, 13. This brings to mind Tennyson's words in Ulysses. Old age hath yet his honor and his toil. Death closes all, but something ere the end, some noble work of note may yet be done. If we are not living for God, we're not living for anything at all. It's interesting to compare this with the end of Ecclesiastes. Man goeth to his long home. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 5, 7, and 13. Well, now that ends this Sunday school reading of the Rockcliffe Review. And now we're going to go back to the Sunday school lesson we've been studying. These are Elam's notes for a Sunday school lesson prepared for the Sunday schools of June 14th, 1925. Before we get there, I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And looking at our Sunday school lesson for today, looking at Elam's notes, the notes he made for the Sunday schools of June 14th, 1925, we're going to study about how Saul came to Antioch. Let me read to you Acts chapter 11, and we'll look at verses 25 and 26. And he went forth from Tarsus to seek Saul. Now that's Barnabas leaving Tarsus, going to Tarsus, looking for Saul. It says in verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that even for a whole year they were gathered together with the church, and taught much people, and that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Saul had gone from Jerusalem to Tarsus a few years before this. Barnabas doubtly knew Saul before his conversion, and he it was who assured the disciples at Jerusalem that Saul was indeed a Christian. Jesus had told Saul he would send him to the Gentiles, and Saul was a teacher, Barnabas an exhorter. The increasing work at Antioch required more laborers, and Barnabas went to Tarsus to seek Saul. This was doubtless not long after Barnabas reached Antioch. Having returned to Antioch with Saul, for a whole year they were gathered together with the church and taught much people. Great success attended their united labors. Here's an example of preachers teaching a church as well as others through the church. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, the text says. Whether the name Christian was given by divine authority or by their enemies has been a matter of much controversy. If it was not given by divine authority, it is the natural name, and it was accepted by the disciples and approved by the Holy Spirit. On this name, we can see that it had already been said they'd be called by a new name. And the word called is the word that would be used for something that was called of God. There are some other facts in Barnabas' life we need to consider. He was sent out with Paul on Paul's first missionary journey from the church at Antioch. He and Paul had a contention over taking Mark on the second journey. He was a relative of John Mark. He attended with Paul the council at Jerusalem. He received with Paul the right hands of fellowship from James, Peter, and John at Jerusalem, and was carried away, as were others, with the dissimulation of Peter in Antioch. At times, with Paul, he labored for his support while he preached the gospel. The Christian fellowship between Paul and Barnabas was not destroyed by their disagreement over Mark, for afterward they and Mark worked together. Now here, we also have an example of giving. I'll go back to Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 27. Now in these days there came down prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great famine over all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius. And the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea, which also they did, sending it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. These prophets from Jerusalem went to Antioch to encourage and help the church there. The Holy Spirit, in so many words, declared through Agabus that a great famine in all the world would come to pass in the days of Claudius. This shows how the Holy Spirit bears testimony. The church at Antioch, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren that dwelt in Judea. This contribution was sent to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Note, this was turned over to the elders for distribution. The church at Antioch and the church at Jerusalem were all the organization necessary to the sending and distributing of this fund. Having fulfilled their ministration, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now that's the end of that lesson. And on the following page in our little Sunday school book, we're going to see that we have a Sunday school lesson about Peter being delivered from prison. The text is going to be in Acts chapter 12. And when we gather together for our next class, we'll be reading Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 24. Make sure you have your Bible and be ready.